For more, we go to California, where we're joined by the report's author, Gary Ruskin. He's the director of the Center for Corporate Policy, a project of Essential Information. Gary, welcome back to Democracy Now! Explain what you found.
Thanks for having me on the show again, Amy. Yeah, we found a tremendous diversity of corporate espionage being conducted against a wide variety of civic groups across the country, in the UK, a case in Ecuador, and in France as well. So what we found was a tremendous variety of use of different types of espionage tactics, from dumpster diving to hiring investigators to pose as journalists or volunteers, to electronic espionage, information warfare, information operations, hacking, electronic surveillance. And so this appears to be a growing phenomenon, both here in the United States and maybe in other parts of the world as well. But our report is an effort to document something that it's very hard to know very much about. We aggregated 30 different cases of corporate espionage to try to talk about them. But really, each of the cases, we have very fragmentary information. And so it's hard to say what we have as a part of the iceberg, whether it's the tip of the iceberg or the tippy tip of the iceberg. We don't really know.
Gary, let's go to 2000. I want to go to 2010. Greenpeace files a federal lawsuit against Dow Chemical and Sasol North America for engaging in corporate espionage. The lawsuit alleged corporate spies stole thousands of confidential documents from Greenpeace, including campaign plans, employee records, phone records, donor and media lists. Democracy Now! Spoke to Charlie Cray, the senior researcher with Greenpeace USA at the time. He explained what happened.
BBI, the defunct private investigation firm, hired subcontractors, including off-duty police officers who went through Greenpeace's trash to find useful documents on a regular basis over 2 years. They did this almost twice a week on average. They also used subcontractors who had colleagues who attempted to infiltrate Greenpeace as volunteers. They cased the Greenpeace office looking for, we don't know what, but probably doing advanced scouting for people who would then intrude upon the property. We found a list of door codes. We found a folder that said wiretap info, which was empty. We know this company has subcontracted with a company called NetSafe, which is a company that was made of former NSA officials skilled in computer hacking and things like that. So we really don't know the full extent of this, but what we've seen is incredibly shocking, and our goal is to bring this out into the light of day and to stop it if it's still going on.
That was Charlie Cray, senior researcher with Greenpeace USA. Gary Ruskin, if you could respond to that and then go on to talk about Walmart and Up Against the Wall, the nonprofit organization.
Sure. The Greenpeace example is a great example of what corporate America can bring to bear, the lawlessness that they can bring to bear on nonprofit organizations like Greenpeace, like PETA, like Knowledge Ecology International, you know, Public Citizen, and many others. This was a tremendously diverse and powerful campaign of espionage that they targeted Greenpeace with. And so, you know, there are so many other examples in the report, but you mentioned Walmart has a very large internal security operation, and so we know of a case, for example, where they planted essentially a person with a bug in a meeting of people organizing about Walmart. And then, as well, they had a van that was able to surveil some other activities, protest activities as well. But there are just so many other stories we can tell from the report. I mean, another famous one was the largest operator of nuclear power plants in the world, Electricité de France, was caught with a copy of a Greenpeace a hard drive on one of its contractors' computers because they had hacked into Greenpeace France. So there are just so many stories we can tell from that.
And how does it go from spying to interrupting the activity of these organizations? And also, if you could talk about the spying on Occupy Wall Street.
Sure. Well, What we found in some of the cases is there are spies that actually actively participate in an organization. For example, one of the most famous cases was a woman whose real name was Mary Lisa Pone, but went by Mary McFate, and was very active in the gun control movement for quite a long time, and ran for the National Board of Directors of a prominent gun organization. Worked a bunch with the Brady campaign and the like, but she was totally a spy. Another example was there was
a spy for
a spy probably for the NRA. And then there are other kind of pretty well known examples. Like for example, there was a former congressman, the late Congressman Henry Hyde, who was also a bank director at a bank. The bank went belly up, and he was the only bank director who did not pay the settlement for the bank going defunct. And he had a lawyer dispatched a journalist or someone who posed as a journalist to get information from the guy who uncovered so much of this wrongdoing.
Well, Gary Ruskin, we're going to continue to cover this issue. We're going to do part two of the interview and post online at democracynow.org. Gary Ruskin is director of the Center for Corporate Policy, a project of Essential Information. We'll link to the report, Spooky Business, Corporate Espionage Against Nonprofit Organizations.